Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I like doing it. You know, I love running routes.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
Looking forward to facing your mom at some point.
Last night at the bar we were at, I had some really bad queso.
I've never had no bad queso, really.
It's Wednesday, September 7th, and yeah, second episode of the second season of Eckler's Edge here on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast feed. Joining me, obviously, of course, is the man himself, LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
Matt, what's good, man? We are back. Back for the second of many to come, my friend. The second of many to come. So looking forward to today's episode and the future ones to come in the future. And man, you know, we got a little bye week. I felt like a little bye week. We had like a weekend off. So I'm feeling fresh, man, going into week one.
100%. I feel ready, or as ready as you really can for the upcoming storm. And I love to see it. I do have to make one quick note here at the top of the show. I need to correct the record on something that I said on episode one last week, Austin. I had this whole spiel, and of course it got cut for like all the social videos, about how I don't have you on any of my fantasy teams. Austin, I was wrong. I do have you on one of my teams. And actually, like, what a brain fart by me, because it's one of the biggest fantasy leagues in the entire industry. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Scott Fishbowl. It's like this giant charity league. The reason I forgot was that we drafted in July. So it was so long ago. But yes, you're my top running back on that team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's massive charity league, man. I should tell you about it sometime. You'd be really interested in it. So I did want to correct the record on that. You are on one of my teams, which is good for the
awesome.
Show, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you directly, you know, are affected by my play, you know, in some little way. So we'll be able to touch on that. As I have myself as well. So, you know, we'll be able to critique myself from myself and from you. I want to hear it from you as someone that has me on their team. Like, what did you think about that week? All that. So awesome. Good to know.
It's good to have that synergy. Otherwise it would have felt really weird if I had like, you know, like 10 plus teams and had zero Eckler.
I was starting to think, I was like, maybe Matt has like a secret, like hate for like Austin Eckler. Like he doesn't want me on his team,
No. You
know? So, you know, 10 teams and you didn't have me on any of them. I was like, I was second guessing. So I'm glad we cleared the water there. We can be friends now.
Okay. That's good. Otherwise it would have been a long season. Otherwise, also before we get jumping into the whole outline here, Austin, you've got a couple things to mention, a couple giveaways that you want to drop here at the top for the people.
Yeah. You know, it's part of the whole ecosystem and part of even why the show even exists. And man, look at that water bottle. We'll see if he can drink it by the end of the show.
Oh my God. Let's hope not.
I'll take five pee breaks. But you know, the reason the show is even, you know, put together, or why I'm even on this show, is because of the draw of the community of fantasy football. And it doesn't just stop with me giving efforts back to the show. I also do some different giveaways throughout the year. Actually, every single week, if you have me on your fantasy football team, we're giving away 2 signed jerseys every single week. All you have to do is post that you have me on your team on social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, and make sure to tag me. And then also for the people out here that are close to SoFi Stadium, we are also giving away game tickets to every single home game. Matt, let me tell you, like, we have never done engagement like this before ever. So I'm super excited for it. We're giving away two tickets to home games and a parking pass, which is almost as expensive as the tickets, because SoFi is atrocious to get in and out of. But yeah, those are two of the biggest giveaways that I've ever done. I'm really excited to just give back more to the community and say thank you all for all your unconditional support. And let's have a good time this year. So yeah, I appreciate you letting me plug those. And so if you guys want to check them out, check me out on Instagram. That's where we post about all that different stuff.
Yeah, I saw some folks doing some pretty good air guitars on your Instagram story this morning. So good stuff, people. Get in there. Get in on that action. We'd love like a listener of Eckler's Edge to end up winning that giveaway. So that'd be pretty sick.
Be great. Brownie points if you shout out Eckler's Edge. Brownie points on the giveaway.
There we go. Yeah, it's a whole corporate synergy here. All right. One little piece of news that we want to jump into here real quick before we get into all your Ask Austin questions, which are awesome. I can't wait to dive in there. You know, we'll go over all of the like big fantasy relevant stuff with all the other Yahoo goofballs the rest of the week. But Austin, I did want to get your takeaway on the Steelers naming Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback. That happened Tuesday morning. Rookie Kenny Pickett is officially the backup. I wanted to talk about this with you because I feel like this is actually sort of similar to the way things have gone for you over the last couple of years with the Chargers. You know, Ben Roethlisberger retires. We know Phillip Rivers moved on to the Colts. It kind of like just again, as you were sort of rising up there, they have like, I think what we all expected with Tyrod Taylor being like the veteran placeholder before you guys moved on to Justin Herbert. Although that was a weird situation for my guy, Tyrod. Shout out to Hampton Roads, Virginia's finest, Tyrod Taylor there. The Steelers are kind of in that situation too, with a veteran quarterback kind of holding the place for a rookie that we expected to take over the job at some point. So Austin, kind of dive into that, like the Rivers or Herbert comparisons and how you sort of started to make those last episode, like your playing style and how that changed as you were going from veteran quarterback to a younger guy.
Yeah. You know, I'll touch first on just the quarterback scenario, and it's different. It's always situational. But as a general sense, the quarterback position is very hard when it comes to the actual mental game. The mental game, I think, enhances the actual physical game, like being able to throw the ball, you know, be accurate, know where you need to place it, high, low, back, soft, hard, all that stuff comes into account in the physical part. But what takes your game to the next level, which is what I saw with Phillip, was the mental part of the game. And that's something that takes time. You know, when I came in with Phillip, I think he was going into year like, you know, 15. So talk about a guy that's been around the league a long time. And he knew every single defense because of the defensive coordinator. He's like, oh, I know the defensive coordinator. He was in Miami. We're playing. He's with, you know, this team this year. And this is what they're going to try to do to us. And he's bringing up stuff from back 2007 and things like that. And just like, wow, like this, like, it's like a masterpiece. It's like a master artist just going to work, painting this picture in your head of what's going to happen and how it's going to be executed and how we're going to protect it. So going from a guy like that to going to a guy like Justin, you know, with Kenny Pickett, I think he's really young guy coming in. So when we had, you know, our transition, when Phillip left, we, you know, drafted Justin Herbert. We also brought in a vet, right? Tyrod Taylor, he'd been around too. And so it's to kind of just bridge that mental part, right? Because it'd be like, to be able to run an offense, like you, it's really hard to just come in and just plug and play like you can for like a running back, where it's more so, hey, follow this line. Here's your responsibility. You're not out there, you know, chiefing the offense and everything like that. So to me, it makes sense. To me, it makes sense. I think it's kind of something that you see around the league, bringing in some type of veteran quarterback with hopes with that your guy that you drafted is going to be eventually the guy, right? That's why you're paying him all that money to draft him. So I think that's going to play that self out, you know, and it's also opportunity for Mr. Trubisky to be like, hey, can you continue to play at a high level? Right. So two opportunities that are going to be presented to both of those guys. But as far as play, yeah, it's definitely different. You know, it depends on your quarterback. For me, going from Phillip Rivers, who wasn't very mobile, and anytime the pocket broke down, it was either sack or he's trying to find Austin in the flat, to a guy that can, you know, is a little bit more mobile, can move around a little bit more, is a little bit younger in his career than I came in with Phillip. So, you know, is a little bit more agile, has a little bit stronger arm strength. You know, now I've seen, you know, some type of decline in my catches. You know, instead of catching 97 balls, I'm only catching 77. And like, you know, those 20 that make a difference, right? Especially if you're talking fantasy, but still getting the love. So yeah, it'll play itself out. And like I said, both those guys have an opportunity to show, you know, who's going to be able to. Kenny will be able to get behind Mitchell and learn. Really, it's the learning process that I would say is the biggest gap.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is it's a bridge, right? You're going from Trubisky eventually to Pickett, just like you guys were going to eventually go from Tyrod to Justin Herbert. But really, to me, I think the biggest thing is what you said last week and what you just alluded to there. It's the structure of the offense and how it changes. Like, I mean, I've talked a lot about the Steelers on the podcast this off season, and I just get fixated on weird topics. And to me, I think, like, you know, watching Ben Roethlisberger last year, and he's had a great career, but, you know, like you said, lack of mobility. He didn't want to go under center. He didn't want to do a lot of play action. He didn't want to turn his back to the defense. Cause that's just where he was at that point of his career. I continue to think that these Steelers receivers, you know, guys like Deontay Johnson, George Pickens on the come up, like they're going to see a totally, especially a guy like Deontay, who's getting a lot of those like pop gun targets last year. He could see some, you know, targets further down the field, not just from Mitch, but also from Kenny Pickett as well. So I'm glad to hear you kind of back that up with your personal experience.
Yeah. And just a little bit more to add on to that, you know, with us, you know, we brought in Corey Linsley, who's, you know, a veteran center. And when you bring in a guy like that, he can also help take pressure off of your quarterback because he can now be making the line changes and the mic calls and things like that. And so it's a little bit less, you know, off your quarterback. So that's also something to look at when you're seeing these new quarterbacks, like who's playing center for him. Is it a veteran that's been doing it for a while? Is it a new guy? So, you know, the layers, if you want to get real deep and really analytical about it, it all matters.
Oh yeah. 100%. I would say this, if you watched the Steelers offensive line in the preseason, you know, maybe next year, that's when they add some offensive line talent. Well, they got guys like James Daniel they brought in this offseason, but maybe they start to add a bit to that unit next year, sort of take the next step with Kenny Pickett going into a second year in 2023. All right, let's move into the meat of the show here, man. I mean, we said last week that we wanted to engage with our listeners. We want to start to build a bridge, a community between NFL players like Austin Ekeler and fantasy managers. And honestly, we were, you know, I read most of the emails, like we were blown away by how many of you wrote in with not just questions, but good, interesting questions. And honestly, a lot of it, Austin, was just appreciation for you. Like there were some people that just came in and was like, hey, Austin, just want to let you know, like you were my fantasy ride or die last year. Like you were my guy. I mean, that's gotta feel pretty cool for you to hear that from folks out there.
Yeah, it does. And you know, that's man, that's what I'm trying to do, you know, out here. I'm trying to be the most efficient that I can for myself, and then it carries over into the community as well, right? I'm trying to lead a path that leaves a wake of motivation and value behind for others to also enjoy. And that's why fantasy football is such a perfect, vehicle for that, because it's directly based off of my production as far as my character in the fantasy space. So yeah, I shout out to all y'all that just emailed in to say what's up, and we appreciate it. But hey, bring some questions. We want to hear them all.
Yeah.
And to those of you that did great, send in some questions, we're going to get into those shortly. I'm looking forward to answering them, but I appreciate all the love.
Yeah. Let's dive in right now. Just as one disclaimer for the folks that sent Austin, like, hey, should I start this guy or this guy in my flex? Maybe not in the future, right? Like, I'll just say that off the top. But we did get a ton of really good questions, so let's dive into some of them right now. First one, this was actually a piece of news that dropped between episode one and episode two here. You guys signed Sony Michel to join that backfield rotation. You know, you and I talked about Josh Kelly and his kind of performance in the preseason and sort of that competition going on at the RB2 spot there. This one came in from Justin. What's your opinion on Sony Michel signing with the Chargers? How are we feeling with the kind of another veteran guy entering that group?
Yeah, you know, we let go of, you know, Justin Jackson, or we didn't sign him back, who was our, I guess, you know, the guy behind me as far as just years of playing experience. And so then we had Joshua Kelly's going into his third year, and then Larry Roundtree's going into his second year. And then I think Sony Michel came available, and I think, you know, the Chargers saw an opportunity to kind of solidify, you know, our running back room. There's been a lot of competition going off for the, like you said, for the number two spot. And then it's still going, you know, it's still going. It's an ongoing thing, which is a good thing, right? Guys are competing every single day for their livelihood, which is, in my opinion, the situation you want, because you know everyone's going to be giving it their all. No one's going to be relaxing, which you shouldn't anyway, but that's just an extra motivation factor. So Sony coming in, yeah, I got to know him a little bit better. Really cool, down-to-earth guy, which I like first. That's how I evaluate my teammates first, is like, what kind of person are you? Can I like actually get along? Can we have conversations? He's been great in the meeting rooms. Obviously, you know, he's won a Super Bowl, done all that stuff. So that's pretty cool to have his just mindset as far as just, hey, he's been there, done that. Like, how was that room? How was your running back room on that journey? You know, right now it looks like, you know, it's going to be, you know, Joshua Kelly and him right now as the number twos. And I still don't know how that's going to play out. Time will tell. I know special teams will probably play a factor into that. And so right now there's kind of like an unknown for me. It's kind of the same as it was last year, you know. Right now, obviously I can only focus on myself, and we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, for me, man, I feel like Sony Michel is just a guy that kind of gets it done. Like, he's not super flashy, but he's definitely like a rugged player. And, you know, he had some real moments last year, even in fantasy, right? Like, he had some weeks last year for the Rams where you wanted to start Sony Michel. Like, he was that kind of high end backup. So I think it's a good signing by you guys. I mean, you know, whatever, nobody cares what I think, but I think that, like, I think it's a good signing. And I agree with your notion there that, like, iron sharpens iron. So that will be a fun battle to kind of follow throughout the course of the season and get Austin's insight on. All right, this one comes in from Amon Stuber. Sorry if I butcher anybody's name here, but, like, listen, it is what it is. Do you have a second favorite NFL team that you support besides the Chargers? If not, who was your childhood team growing up that you followed and supported?
Ooh, so we kind of talked about this in episode one. So Matt, you probably know where I'm going with this, but I really did not watch the NFL at all growing up. Like, it was not a part of my, it wasn't a part of my life. It wasn't a part of my family. That was not something we did. We watched a little bit of Nebraska play because my cousin coached there, but that was really the only football we ever watched. So growing up, I lived in Colorado. We were like, maybe every once in a while I would watch a Denver game if it was on, but really it wasn't until my junior year of college that I started watching the NFL. And that's the only reason because of that is because, you know, my coach was like, hey, man, you have scouts interested in you. Like, you might have a chance to go play. Like, I wasn't even focused on the NFL. I was focused on my education because I thought that's where my next opportunity was going to lie within. And sure enough, the NFL actually ended up presenting itself an opportunity. So right now, I'm all Chargers. I've been Chargers. I hope I can stay as long as my career goes. We'll see how that plays out. But right now, yeah, ball gang.
Man, I think it's funny that some folks on the outside that, like, don't know NFL players and, you know, would be kind of surprised that you guys don't. I mean, there's probably a handful of guys that, like, watch the NFL, like, live and breathe just pro football and, like, dream of going there since the time they were, you know, like, conscious human beings as like toddlers or whatever. But not everybody is like that. I find that super fascinating, and I don't think most people out there would really even know that.
Well, that's because people only see us on Sundays. Right. Like, that's usually right. The only time they see us. Now we're doing that's why I'm doing this podcast, to give you a little bit of insight of, like, oh, these guys are actually real humans. Like, they don't just work all the time 24/7. Like, to you listening right now, imagine if all you did was your job that you do, and that's all you ever did. Cause I feel like that's the perception that people have about NFL players, that that's all we ever do is football. And I wake up and I go to the gym, and then I'm on the field, and then the off season, I'm on the field every day and I'm at the gym. Like, slow down. We are humans too. Like, like, we go to work just like you do. Right. And so work is fun. Yeah, absolutely. But it still is work. Like, it's still a drag. It's still a journey that we have to go through. And so when we get some downtime, a lot of times we're not watching football. We're doing other things that we like to do, just like you are. So that's good to get across that messaging. So I'm glad we could do the show, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I tell the people this all the time. Like, you can love your job as much as you want. And I know you love playing football. Like, I love covering football, I love watching football, like, charting receivers, all that stuff, writing, you know, doing this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, if you're not on a beach, like, drinking beer somewhere, you don't, like, always want to be doing, you don't always want to be doing your
even
job.
Even if you did that every day, that would get old. So I actually learned this and during the first time COVID ever started locking everything down, it was like 2 weeks, the government comes out, hey, for the next 2 weeks, everyone's got to stay inside. I'm like, oh, this is going to be sick. I'm going to play so many video games. I'm going to hang out.
Yeah.
And so I played video games for like 2 weeks straight. And after that 2 weeks, they extended it to like a month and a half. And I'm like, this isn't as great as I thought it was. Like, I kind of want something else to do. Like, this is not very productive with my time. And I feel like I'm just kind of doing nothing and wasting my time. And I want some other thing to have so I can stimulate my other senses and things like that. So, man, so yeah, that it's the same thing with football. Like, I absolutely love football. We go hard for 7 months out of the year and then get that downtime. And even during season, we have our downtimes where I like to do other things like this. So
it's good. Yeah, I love how my favorite quote from episode one of this show was when Justin said, like, I live kind of a boring life outside of football, and I wish we had less downtime in the off season. And like, everybody's different, right? Like, so, like I said, I bet
for sure.
I bet there are some guys out there that all they want to be doing is football, like, and all they want to be doing is their job. But other folks is, you know, everybody's different. Like, and that's you guys are people just like how people are different. And so I think that's why we're doing this show, like you said. So kind of sticking on you as a person, Austin, not a football player, Scott just wants to ask, what movies/music do you watch and listen to before you play, or just in general, if anything?
Ooh, so I'm not much of a movie guy. I didn't really watch a lot of movies growing up either. So that kind of just faded away really early. But music, like, especially before I play, I used to, when I was like in my first 3 years, listen to a bunch of like rock, heavy metal, just get super amped up. But then I found myself like having to calm down a lot. I was like, man, I get all super like amped up and I'm ready to go. And I'm like, ready to run through a wall. But then I'm like, okay, I need to calm down so I can actually focus. And so right now I don't really listen to music. What I do is a lot of just visualization. Like right before the game, I'll be in the locker room. I'll just be going through my steps. Like I'll have my helmet, my pads, everything on. I'll just be going through my steps for different plays, just visualizing catching the ball. Justin's throwing me the swing route. I'm catching the ball. Boom! I'm getting upfield, make a guy miss. You know, get some more fantasy points. that's what I'll visualize. And so it's really kind of like a calming like ritual I go through. That's like more so visualization, more so, you know, calm my inner self, because it's a really stressful environment. And the more calm I could be, the more locked into what my job is, I think the better I can play. Cause that's how it is in practice. In practice, there's not thousands of fans yelling. It's not, you know, games on the line type of stuff. So if I can try to just simulate that type of environment where I'm playing free, playing like myself, that's what I've noticed to be the best for me. So sorry, I didn't really answer your question.
No. Well, hey, you got right, no, before, I guess. Right before you got on this show, you were singing some Coldplay. So like that's your hype music for the show.
You know, I always like to listen to stuff before I speak, because it gets me in a mood where I'm like singing and like songs that like kind of pick me up. And it's not always, you know, Coldplay, obviously, but it's just like things that I might listen to. Like I have a bunch of playlists with some old rock, some new rap, some pop, some like just a whole bunch of different stuff that kind of gets me in a mood. You know, I got the guitar behind me, you know, it might rip a riff on there. So I don't know, something about music that gets me ready to speak.
Well, I got all my guitars, a few in this office, a few out there. So maybe we'll do like a little track before.
Yeah, Mel and I, my girlfriend and I, will have to show you maybe on an episode. We'll play our little music, our little song that we've made.
Oh, I would absolutely love to see that. And I think the people would too. Yeah. All right. Next question here from Will. Is there any particular reason that you wear number 30? Is there any significance to that? I think people love to know this type of stuff.
So just to keep it short and sweet, I wore it in high school and then coming back into the pros. Well, okay. Wore it in high school, number 30. In college, I wore 31. And then I got into the pros and I was number 3, which at the time running backs couldn't wear number 3. And so I had to pick a different number. And there's like 4 numbers available for me in the running back numbers that I actually was intrigued in. And 30 was just one that I had worn before. So I was like, hey, let's run it back. So 3-0 it is.
So no, like, there's no like special significance. Do you guys ever, again, this is, I said earlier, I get weirdly fixated on certain topics. I'm like obsessed with how, and this whole number change thing, man, like this is when I knew I was getting old. Like I was like totally getting into boomer status here, that I was like, back in my day, like, you know, wide receivers wearing number 1. I don't know about that, man. So like, do you guys care at all about like the way that a jersey number looks on you? Because I mean, Austin, like 30 looks good on you. It might not look as good on like a damn left tackle or something like that.
Right. I actually hate it. I hate it because I used to
really
like, well, just as an offensive player, especially people that are in the box, like when I mean the box, like in between the tackles, like we use numbers to recognize who people are, right? And usually it's like 90s are D linemen, you know, 50s are going to be 50s and 40s are going to be your linebackers type bodies. So it's like now I got linebackers wearing number 6 or wearing number 9 or number 3.
It's
and
weird.
I'm like, and I got like D linemen wearing single digits. And I'm like, okay, who is that over there? Okay, that's number 3. That's a D lineman. Like, it just makes me think a little bit more. So that's why I don't like it. But, you know, they think it looks good on them. You know, give them the right to. It's just an adjustment. Like you said, you know, it's just the old school. I've been doing something one way. You know, it gets changed. Obviously, there's going to be some type of learning adjustment that's going to have some growing pains. But it is what it is. You know, let guys wear the numbers they want to wear. I think that's appropriate.
Honestly, I'm really glad that you said that, because like when I'm watching film and stuff too, you know, I it's like so easy to see like 80 and then like a guy on the side there. Like when I'm spotting a receiver, it's like, okay, there he is, to the point that, I mean, this is like something you guys probably do this too. it's like, okay, what's like, if he, like, you, Keenan Allen, bro, like, he wears those long white arm sleeves. Thank God for Keenan Allen. I spot him so fast on every play, right? Some other guys, though, it's like, it's just the, God forbid you go out there, like the Bengals, they got those all white uniforms. They're all wearing all white, all wearing black socks. And then, you know, Jamar's got the one number. It's, he's hard to find, man. So, like, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's a struggle that I live too. It's ridiculous. All right. This question comes in from a few listeners, actually, sort of sent this in, including one by a guest of this podcast, Dr. Edwin Porras from Fantasy Pros.
What's up, Matt and Austin? I'm Edwin. I'm a physical therapist. Austin, you have no idea who I am. Matt, you know who I am. I'm going to kick your butt in fantasy football this year again. Austin, my question is for you. On the first podcast, you said that there seems to be a lack of humanity or connection there, I'm paraphrasing, between the athlete and the general public. And I agree with you 100%. I work in professional sports, so I see how difficult rehab can be for the athlete. I know that athletes feel like part of their identity is removed when they're just rehabbing and not on the field practicing and doing their thing. So I understand some of the things that they go through. I know how difficult it can be. I'm wondering if maybe you can give us a little insight of what it was like for you rehabbing that hamstring that you had a couple of years ago, maybe some of the emotions you felt and what it felt like to finally get back on the field and perform at such a high level. I think that would be cool for the audience to hear. And I'd be interested to hear what you had to say about that too. I think that might help maybe bridge that gap, or at least contribute to bridging the gap between the audience, the general public, and the athlete. Thanks, guys.
What's your mentality while rehabbing, and how do you kind of keep your confidence up when you can't like play in the game? Like, what is that process, the rehabbing through injuries, like during the season?
Yeah, first of all, I'll say, yeah, injury is the worst thing when it comes to being an athlete, because a lot of it is things that you can't control, right? In this case, when you're injured, you can't really control injuries a lot of the time, and it's directly dealing with your body, so it's directly affecting you. So having something that you can't really control but that directly affects you is very frustrating. And that's in, I mean, all walks of life. And, you know, when I dealt with my hamstring injury, you know, it was very significant. I could barely walk for like 2 weeks. It was crazy. Man. And so coming back into it, really my confidence, I think, wasn't low. I was definitely upset, frustrated. All those, you know, I feel like very appropriate emotions to be feeling when you're injured, obviously in pain. But I just knew I wanted to get back. And so I also knew at the same time, I didn't want to get back too fast, especially with hamstrings. I did not want to re-injure my hamstring. And what actually helped me a lot was, you know, my teammates that had injuries like that all saying, hey, look, don't rush it back. Like, make sure you're right. And so throughout my journey of coming back, my confidence, you know, seeing the team struggle, we didn't have the best year that year. It's just like, it's even more frustrating. Like, I feel like I'm wasting, you know, talent on the, cause I'm not able to play, but it's not something I can't control. So psychologically it definitely plays a toll on you, but really I was just focusing, okay, let's just consistently try to come back. And here's the thing too, you know, and I knew when you get back, you're not going to be the same person. Like,
right.
For me, I'm dealing with the hamstring. So I'm not running. I didn't run for 2 months, right? 2 months of not running. And then finally, slowly working it back. Really, it was just like, hey, we try to push the hamstring a little bit further every single day within its range. And so you just kind of limit yourself, but also live on the edge of, okay, what's the hamstring? How is it healed from yesterday or from last week to this week? You know, let's increase the range, let's increase the speed, let's increase the intensity of what your rehab is, and slowly do that to the point where you get back. And now I'm finally back. And now the way I knew I was back basically was like, okay, you're doing a full practice, but on your own, right? It's on your own with a trainer. Like, okay, basically we're doing full speed cuts, full speed running. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to like bust this thing again. Like, can this thing hold, right? Because when we're full speed, these guys are hitting me, they're not holding back. So I need to make sure that this thing is ready to go. And so finally got up to that point and then got back into the game, I think against the Bills after, like I said, like 2 months. And then, man, you're just not the same, you know? And so that year definitely was a slower year for me because I just took 2 months off of running, and then all of a sudden I'm back in as a starting running back. And so it definitely is the worst thing. And especially significant ones to the lower body.
I mean, and I hate to make you speak on like something that sucks, right? Like the injuries that no one enjoys real. That are those, but it is real. And like, I think it helps sort of break down those walls like we were talking about, because I know that people on the outside just view like, oh, Eckler is playing, like he's back. But like, that's not true. I mean, like you said, you're a damn running back. You don't run for 2 months. Like, just because a guy's back out there playing doesn't mean that he's 100%. Doesn't even mean he's close to 100%, right? Like, right. So you might be an entirely different player, an entirely different person out there with the mindset part of it.
Here's the thing. Like, it depends on the injury. Like, especially as a lower body sport, if there's any lower body injuries, you're definitely going to probably see some type of drop off. You know, upper body, like, you know, if I sprain my AC joint, I'm still going to be able to go out there and physically run and do those types of things, which is going to keep me in shape. It's going to keep me just physically able to continue to maintain my stamina and stuff like that. So that's something to just take in, you know, people are going to get injured on your fantasy team. And it's like, what kind of injury is this? And that's going to help you decide, okay, is this person's someone that I should start right away when they're back, or should I, you know, give them a week to try to, you know, get back in a rhythm, things like that.
Yeah. I always tell people, like, hey, if you have a guy who's injured and you don't throw him out there in the first game, and like, he goes out and blows it up and is great, but he does it on your bench, it's like, okay, well, you, even if you didn't start him, like, you can still feel good about that, because you can kind of have that sense like, oh, he's back, and like, I feel pretty good.
You're not going to feel good about that, because you're like, dang, I should have started. You're gonna have
I'm
that
trying
regret.
To give a silver lining here, Austin. I'm trying to give him some perspective on how they can feel pretty good about that. Right. All right, we're about to do our interview here with Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints, but before we do, I do want to have our little As the AFC West Turns segment here. We talked a lot about the Chargers, obviously. The two big games, though, for the other two teams in division. The other three teams, you guys are playing one of them. The Chiefs have a game against the Cardinals. That should be pretty interesting, seeing how they, like, change their identity post-Tyreek. But I did want to ask you about the Broncos and the Seahawks game, mostly because, don't know if you've heard this out there, people, the Broncos have a new quarterback. He also happens to be playing his former team in week one. You've never had to experience this because you've been playing on the same team your entire career, which is awesome. But the concept of the revenge game, I joke about, like, oh man, revenge games, this should be fun. But then you do get some guys like Steve Smith. I always bring it back to him when he played the Panthers. He's like, I'm going to leave some blood and guts on that field. And I mean, he ripped them up. So, you know, maybe that's out there. So are revenge games real? And how do you feel about the Broncos now that they've brought in this big time quarterback?
I would say that it's situational, but I would say at the same time, it's always real in one way or another. Even if there's bad blood, if there's good blood, if it was on good terms, bad terms, there's going to be some type of like, hey, this is what you're missing out on type of feeling, you know, that you want to, you know, instill in them, you know. And I think that does add extra motivation. We have a lot of reason to be motivated in this game, and little things like that that are kind of rare that pop up every once in a while, I think, is definitely one, because we're competitors. Like, we want to show you that you messed up by not keeping me. You know, so just in the sense of being a competitor and actually trying to be the best player that you can be, you're going to have that type of feeling. And that's even on, you know, for teams that don't even have you, right? You want the world to know who you are, but definitely for a team that has had you on the team and they didn't, for whatever reason, you know, re-sign you or extend you, there's definitely that revenge game. That's for sure a thing. One example, actually, you know, it sucks to say, but Adrian Phillips last year for the New England Patriots, he was with us. We didn't resign him, and he had like a pick six against the. He had two picks, and one was a pick six. And so I knew AP, man. This man, shout out to AP. He's my guy. Helped me out when I was younger. I know he was just in the locker room, probably going crazy after the game. But yeah, it was that like, man, AP, man, tore us up. So I've been on the other end of that wrath, so to speak.
Yeah, I feel like guys who have like that chip on their shoulder. I mean, look, I'm sure Russ has a chip on his shoulder, but he's also like he got a huge new contract from the damn Broncos. He got a big trade to go over there. Like, there's clearly, even if the Seahawks maybe lost their belief, there's someone else that has that belief in you, right? So right. I don't know. That is obviously going to be an interesting team to follow all season. But you guys have a big game coming up with the Raiders, who, you know, they've made some changes as well. New organization, new coaching staff there, new front office there with Josh McDaniels and the boys coming over from the Patriots. But of course, the big marquee addition is Davante Adams to the offense, right? I mean, Davante Adams, in my opinion, I might know a few things about wide receivers, but in my opinion, he's the best receiver in pro football. I think he's right up there. It's a huge addition to the offense, but how are you feeling about this matchup going into it? Any like game specific goals for you, or is it just getting off to a good start in the season?
I mean, that's a good goal to have. Absolutely. And I feel like everyone has that goal, but really as an individual, it comes down to me, like I say all the time, being as efficient as I can, to keep us moving, right? I feel like, you know, I'm going to be the one besides Justin who's touching the ball the most, right? So I have to be efficient. I have to keep us moving. I want to be vital to us moving and scoring points. And so at the same time, I'm trying to get in the end zone myself, right? Like just as an offensive player, as a running back, trying to do everything I can to make sure that we're putting ourselves in the best situation and making plays on top of that. If we can do that, I think we're gonna have a great opportunity. It's gonna be a fight. It's the NFL. It's every week is a fight. But that's why we sign up. That's why we love this game so much. So I'm looking forward to it.
Man, this still division, like I've said, is gonna be a fight. Like you know, the Broncos add Russ. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, man. That, you know, they've won a Super Bowl recently. Patrick Mahomes still at the peak of his powers. Like I think the Chiefs have really already kind of figured out this new identity. They saw it a little bit. Obviously, they lose Tyreek. That's a big presence, but I can't wait to watch all these AFC West games, starting with this one here. I mean, Raiders at Chargers, that's gonna be a pretty big banger for you guys to get the season started with.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that if you're, you know, an AFC fan, especially for, you know, just if you're a Chargers fan or a Raiders fan. Like, it's like the one of the longest rivalries, you know, for the Chargers. And so, you know, the Raiders and the Chargers fans don't really get along. So it's a perfect one to open up with to get some good energy in there. That's what I'm looking forward to, some good energy in the stadium.
And hey, if you're a fantasy fan, Austin, these teams, a lot of good offenses, a lot of points will be scored. That's the type of game environment that our people love to see out there. All right, Austin and I are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will welcome in Saints star defender Cam Jordan. All right, now welcome to the show, Saints star defender Cam Jordan. Cam, what's going on, buddy? How we doing?
I'm good. I'm always intrigued on intros. I like the defender. Defender works for me.
Defender?
Yeah. Well, you know, do-it-all guy.
That's what I'm saying. Defender just transcends just a regular defensive end. Like, I'm a defender. Like, you know, I force fumbles. I got probably more pass deflections than most DBs. I got like 56, 57 pass deflections. That's right. A whole lot of sacks. So, you know, it's great.
Yeah, you don't want to be confined to, you know, the misconceptions about just playing DN, like, you know, or linebacker or things like that. Yeah, but I just want to say welcome to Eckler's Edge. I appreciate you, man. Just a little about the show. We talk fantasy, we talk life, we talk ball, we talk, you know, motivation, a little bit of everything. So I appreciate you coming in and joining us today.
Man, I appreciate you having me on. Don't talk fantasy with me. I'm emotionally scarred from the first time I ever tried to do fantasy. I'm done with fantasy drafts. I can't keep up in the middle of the season. Like, I'm not keeping up with everybody who's like getting injured or rotating in or out or get traded. Like, it got too much. I'm focused on putting hands on some.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
Our curiosity.
Wait a minute. What happened? When did you do fantasy?
Had been 7-8 years ago now? Like, you know, my boys were doing a fantasy league, and I think like it was a lot online. It was like, you know, it wasn't even monetary. It was like if you're the bottom tier, you have to like go eat at like Waffle House or something like that. And it's like like a lot of waffles. It was like an inordinate amount of waffles. It was like 15 waffles, 16 waffles, right? Or you had to spend, it was like an hour, somewhere in there. It was like 8 or 9 hours you had to spend in Waffle House. In like just sitting in Waffle House, you know, like looking like a real creep. Right. Not like, hey, I'm coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, like we're coming in at 3 p.m. and you're gonna stay here till darn near midnight. Nah,
until you eat all these waffles, man. That's one thing that I've actually learned more, because I haven't been in fantasy for very long, probably 3 years now. And you know, being in first is great, but I've heard not being last is actually what you're playing for a lot of these guys.
I'm fighting not to be last. Like, as long as I don't end up
because a lot of these guys have punishments. I was listening to a guy the other day. I was talking to him, and for them, whoever gets last has to dress as a Boy Scout and go do a lemonade stand at the choice of the rest of the group.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's great to be in the group unless you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to be rotating. You're supposed to have an IDP. You're supposed to be able to like rotate your healthy players with your hurt players. And somewhere in the middle of the season, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm focused on being healthy myself and whooping somebody, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a lot. It's a lot for sure. Well, I appreciate you sharing that story with us, though.
Cam, did you have to go to do the Waffle House challenge?
Yes and no. I think like, cause it was like bottom three. I think I was like the third from the last. So I think I had to go there for like an hour or something like that. And I had to eat like, it's like two entry waffles. And then for our forever, however many hours you're in there, it's like a waffle and knock off 30 minutes. So it's like you had to eat like plus 16 waffles after the initial two. It gets gross. You know what I'm saying? For sure. You love waffles until waffles, start devouring you.
And everybody knows that when you go to Waffle House, it's not just about the food. It's about the environment, what's going on in there. So like if you're in there for even an hour, you're going to see some things, man.
You're going to see truck drivers come through, the family of 17, you're going to see all walks of life come through, and it gets interesting. But also, I don't want to be there for more than an hour and a half, 2 hours tops, 3 hours.
Long time.
You press that eight button, it's different. And it's not like you can just be like, oh yeah, I went. No, your boys are calling you like, hey bro, you FaceTime in, check in on you. It gets weird. Weird vibes.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You're in your Waffle House for that long, the windows start fogging up. It's a whole thing. Well, Cam, I appreciate you telling us that story. That alone is good enough fantasy football content for you. I want to talk a little bit about the Saints coming in this year, man. Like, Austin and I just talked about at the top of the show, like sort of the transition from Phillip Rivers, now on to Justin Herbert. They had Tyrod Taylor in there for a minute as well. You guys are definitely undergoing a lot of transition here in your 12th season, man. So talk to us a little bit about the Saints and what's the vibe around the team right now?
See, the beautiful thing about it is the world perceives us as going through a lot of transition. Like, oh, new head coach. Actually, it's just my defensive coordinator I've been with the last 7 years. Like, hey, you're like, who's going to be a DC? We've had a D-line coach and the DB coach sort of take up that helm. So we're still sort of running the same things. We've got the same foundation. In terms of players, you leave, you have Marcus Williams leave, but you sort of can't replace him. He goes off to the Ravens. But then you bring in, guys like Marcus May and Honey Badger. You have guys that you can always rely on our defense. We get a healthy Mike Thomas back. You're right. The transition is real for our team getting healthier. I mean, Mike Thomas comes back healthy, and he's a dog, absolute animal. You draft Chris Olave, and then you bring in Jarvis Landry. We go from, our wide receiver room being one of sort of the weaker units that we had on the team to now being one of his strengths. Transition is, things got nice.
Love to hear it, man. It's so much to be, I guess, that's just not said enough about the transition of having the same type of guys around you, the same, scheme and things like that, where it's not a whole new type of learning. So you can build off of what you already know. And then I think it helps you be even a better leader as well, because now you know what to expect, you know what the standard is. That's kind of where I wanted to ask you next, because I know, you're captain on your team, right? Just how would you describe like your leadership and how you lead with the Saints?
Man, as you know, I feel like in the league, like it's weird to say like, yeah, that's my captain. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't really lead grown men. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm headed to the front of the line anyway towards this battle. But it's like as a grown man, captains is a title. I think that who we are as people speaks leaps and bounds way beyond just a title that is given by your peers, which is a phenomenal nod. By teammates thinking that I'm a leader of some sort. To me, I'm going to be the same person regardless. I mean, I'm in there charging the group up. I'm trying to put hands on offensive linemen. I'm trying to get real filthy in the backfield, which may not be good for you, but you know what I'm saying. As a defense, we love to see it, because what we have is what defense really has to play on is fear. Like we don't want you to be like, oh, we're just going to run around them. Like that boy Cam on that edge. What we going to do is try to run through these guards and tackles before we get to this edge. And that's what we love to do. So as a leader, and it's literally just that, I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like my guys know I'm never trying to get off the field. I'm like a little kid, man. When it comes down to, hey, man, we're going to do this rotation. I ain't come here for all that. You remember high school, we were playing offense, defense, we're still on special teams. College, there was no such thing as coming off the field. Man, if there's 100 snaps, I need 100 snaps. So I take that same mentality to the league. I mean, whatever's there, I need it.
I love it, man.
The one play you're not there, all of a sudden, that's when he starts quarterback. You do that 9-yard drop and start patting the ball. And you're like, oh, now you want to do this? I've been getting play actions all day. Right. Just roll two boots. And now you're going to sit in the pocket? Oh, man. I'm there.
Got to be there. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. We love to hear that. We love talking about mindset on this show. Cam, one thing we wanted to ask you about was the Saints-Falcons rivalry. I feel like it sort of gets under discussed in terms of great rivalries. You know, Austin and I were talking about the Raiders-Chargers rivalry early on in the show. Like, you got like the Saints fans.
Wait, can we just reverse this? Is there Raiders-Chargers? Is there a Raiders-Chargers rivalry? I know that the Raiders and the Niners can't play no more. Like they were like years without playing each other because that's I don't even know if that's a rivalry. That was a bloodbath. And like probably like the literal sense, like I think some people got stabbed or something like that. It was like literally chaos.
Bro, it's the same in our games, man. It's straight chaos, you know. Like that's how it's been.
Underrated.
Yeah, that's how it's been back. I mean, more so back when we were in San Diego before my time. But yeah, it's just the turnout for now. I mean, we moved up to LA, so you know our fan base took a hit, and so it's a lot of Raider fans around there. But still, yeah, just.
The Los Raiders.
Yeah, there you go.
The Raiders fans have some things to say about at the Chargers games. That's definitely for sure. But Cam, like you guys have a rivalry going with the Falcons. And I mean, even on like social media and stuff like on Twitter, I mean, I follow a good bit of Saints fans, good bit of Falcons fans. And like those folks hate each other. Like they legit hate each other.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, they're the Falcons, you know, the Falcons. There's a lot of names you can throw out there that just sort of stick, and it sounds great. You know, they had the whole moniker one year of talking about rise up, and they like fell short, you know, and not even fell short in like a, oh man, we could have, but like was up 28-3 and then blew it all. You know, you love to see it. I mean,
never gonna live it down.
Maybe like you can't live it down. You know, billboards, whatever happens. And they can try to do what they want. But at the end of the day, they know they got to see us. And I know, I don't even know if it's a rivalry if we talk about my era, Saints-Falcons. I think I'm like 2-1. Mm. And I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's a rivalry. But it's a great time to see him.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time to see him this year. All right, Cam, you're here on behalf of Body Armor Super Drink. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on with Body Armor.
Man, you know, Body Armor Sports Drink, it should be a super drink. I mean, when you talk about everything that is packed with the load of, you know, potassium, the electrolytes that are given into it. There's the idea that it's got no artificial ingredients in it. Like, you know, we're so aware of what we put in our bodies. And after, you know, you grind, like it's a on off day, you wake up, you work out, you watch film, you hit the sauna, you hit a steam room, you hit a stretch. And it's just that important to know what's going on in your body. You're eating right. You got to be able to drink right. I mean, whether it's water, whether it's the lights, I'm not gonna lie, I put my three favorite flavors in the back. You know, I've got the peach mango, I've got the goldberry, and then I've got that Mamba Forever, that strawberry grape. It hits different when it's ice cold. But I mean, just seriously, knowing that there's no additives, right? Knowing that all the ingredients in there is sort of just what it's going to be. And the fact that you hit a light and now you got some coconut water in there, I'm going for the superior hydration. Body Armor does that for me in an elite way.
Yeah, man, I'll say this, you know, Body Armor, I feel like it's probably in every single locker room across the league. So shout out to Body Armor. You know, we know how it is, man. Like our recovery is so important. So getting all that nutrition back in our body, especially after workouts, the hydration is the point you touched on, especially out here in Cali. I know we got it in our locker room out here because it's hot.
Bringing it in because this is a competitor drink. But I'm just saying sometimes it's like in practice, it gets like too sugary. And when it's too sugary, that's not what you want. You know what I'm saying? Sure. In high school, it's what I wanted. I didn't know any better. I know better, so I do better now.
There you go.
Hey, we're all getting up there. We're all veterans of the game at this point. You guys definitely down there in Louisiana too. There's some real heat. There's some real heat down there. So yeah, you're gonna need.
Just bring a straw with you. You go ahead. You drink your water through the air. It's hot and sticky out here.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Cam, really appreciate you joining the show here on Eckler's Edge. Just was awesome. We could talk to you for an hour, but we really appreciate it. Good luck this season, man. I'm excited to watch that defense this year.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all stay blessed.
Likewise,
hopefully
brother.
We see y'all in the playoffs, bro. Mm. I say playoffs, Super Bowl. So, you know, it is.
Let's get it done, man. Let's go put on a show, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it, brother.
Y'all take it easy.
All right, see you, brother.
All right, that was awesome. I mean, Cam Jordan, you could talk to that guy forever. What a superstar. Love to see it. Austin, episode 2 in the books, man. How are we feeling?
In the books, man. Like I said at the beginning, man, I'm looking forward to more. I appreciate you. You know, I appreciate our guests. And I appreciate the staff. You know, they don't get a lot of love, but everyone that puts this together. And then you yourselves, your listeners, like, we don't have the show unless we have you as the community. So appreciate all of you and looking forward to, you know, scoring some points, finally getting the season underway. And we'll catch y'all next week.
I'm glad. I mean, this is how you know Austin is a good guy and a real star on and off the field. Is he thanks, you know, the behind the scenes folks. Because, I mean, Austin and I, we show up, we talk, and then we stop. And it's like, whoo, great show, Austin. Good job. High five to you. High five to me. We feel shout out to us. We feel great. Then their work just begins. They have the real hard job. Right. So you got to make
yes.
In all absolutely. Walks of life. Thank the behind the scenes folks, because that's how things really happen. Not just the pretty face like Austin Eckler and the other guy, me. All right. That is going to do it for us. You can follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Eckler. You can follow me at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, for God's sake, make sure you're following at Yahoo Fantasy. I will be back tomorrow with Dalton Del Don for the first Stat Nerd Thursday of the NFL season. Oh, my God. How exciting. Until then, we're out.